Psalms 119 this evening. So we have probably about four or five more different sections in Psalms 119. I've really enjoyed it. I hope it's been an encouragement and a help to you. It really, to me, has opened up my eyes about the need to love the Word of God and the importance of loving the Word of God. And a man after God's own heart has he writes down a lot of the feelings he has inside of this about the Word of God. And the title of tonight's message is "The Lord is Righteous." Each of the different eight verse sections has this thought as a main theme. And tonight, it's the idea about the righteousness of God. And I thought about that, and it's been last week we did a different topical type message. And so the last couple weeks I've been chewing on this a little bit. And the obvious answer is the Lord just does what's right all the time. The Lord is righteous, and He is not just righteous. He is not just the standard. He is the standard. He is what righteousness is. The word righteous, if you look it up into Webster's 1828 dictionary, it talks about just, acting in accordance with divine or moral law. You look it up in some other places, it's free from guilt or sin, morally right or justifiable, a righteous decision. So when the psalmist starts off here and says in verse 137, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments," he's praising the Lord for the fact that he's always righteous. Have you ever wanted God to bless something that you knew wasn't right? And that might sound kind of weird, but we're out there, and maybe you're out there and you're doing something you know really isn't what God wants you to do, and you just want him to close his eyes one time and choose to do what's wrong. You think about it. Maybe you're in the middle of a relationship and you're dating someone and you really think you're in love with that person and you know they're unsaved. You're not supposed to get married. You're thinking, maybe God will just bless this anyway. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's a bad business decision. Maybe it's cheating on your taxes and thinking, well, is it really that big of a deal? And the reality is, God is always going to do what is right. And how do we apply that to our lives tonight? Here's the thought. If God's always going to make that choice to do what's right, then if I want God's blessing, I need to do what's right too. Because he's not going to turn the blind eye, and he's not going to just kind of let one slide by. He is going to do what's right every single time. He's righteous. And don't get me wrong, I know what grace is, I know what mercy is, I know what truth is. I know sometimes we're asking God to be gracious as we're going through certain circumstances, but it just reminds me of how sometimes I think we really just hoping that God's just going to bless something that we know he really shouldn't be. Maybe you're dealing with a certain sin, maybe you're dealing with a certain problem. And instead of just getting it right and getting it fixed and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm repentant of it. I'm turning to you. I never want to do that again. We stay in that sin over and over just thinking, well, maybe God's just not going to do it this time. But the truth is, God is always going to do what is right. And that's what I think the psalmist is excited about here. And he talks about, so we're going to talk tonight a little bit about the Lord is righteous. Let's pick up here in verse 137. Bible says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteous of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we just for a little while consider the righteousness of God, we understand that your judgments are right, the things that you command us to do are right, and that these are things that will last forever. And Lord, if we will learn to just humbly submit ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, that we will just say, He's got to do what's right. I can trust him. And I can depend upon him. And God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. about believing that you are right and just doing what is right, because we know you're always going to choose that right thing for us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pretty simple message. Lots of times when I think the message is going to go shorter than normal, it ends up being longer, so I'm not going to say that tonight. But it's just really, the first point is the Lord is righteous. He just doesn't do right, he is right. Matthew Henry put it this way. He says, the righteousness of God, the infinite rectitude and perfection of his nature, as he is what he is, so he is what he should be, and in everything acts as becomes him. There is nothing wanting, nothing amiss in God. His will is the eternal rule of equity, and he is righteous, for he does all according to it. And as you sit there and you think about that, and it's just like, that's who God is. He is never going to choose wrong. And it's something that he is always right. I know sometimes we might tell our mate, well, you're always right, in a joking way. Or he might say, well, you always think that you're right. But the reality is, God is always right. And you if we can learn to grab a hold of that, you say, well, Pastor, that's elementary. Well, if he's always right and we believe that he has our best interest at heart and he's always going to choose what's right for us and his judgments are right and they're going to last forever, then we should submit to him. There should be something that, like the psalmist is saying, look, your word's very pure. I love it. The psalmist is saying, there, I'm not going to forsake it. And he values it. And he says all those things. And it means something to him because he says, look, Lord, you're right. So the first thing I want you to think about is the Lord is righteous. The second thing I want you to think about is his judgments are righteous. Look what it says in verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. His judgments are righteous. Now, sometimes our version of what is right and what God's version is what is right is two different things. Sometimes we even think we think we know how God's going to say or what God's going to say and what God's going to do, but sometimes we miss it. I think about the story of Jonah and Nineveh. You know, he thought that God was wrong for sparing Nineveh, but he didn't think God was wrong for sparing him. There was different versions. You think about when they had gone to that, I think it was the Samaritan village, and the Samaritan village didn't want to have anything to do with him because he was on his way to Jerusalem. What did the couple of disciples say? Should we send fire down from heaven just to burn them up because they wouldn't receive you? And he's like, no, you don't understand what I'm here to do at all. So just because we think we understand what is right and what judgments we believe are right doesn't mean that's always going to line up with God. Look what it says here at the end of the verse. It says, and upright are thy judgments. I know sometimes we don't understand everything and we don't understand everything that happens in the world. And sometimes we think some things are too hard. Sometimes we think things are too tough. Sometimes we think things are too easy, not hard enough. It's amazing how we as a group, sometimes half the people will say, man, that was too harsh of a penalty. And the other half were like, hey, we should even punish them more. The truth of it is God's judgments are upright. When God makes a decision and when God does what he does, it's always going to be right. Abraham even said that. Abraham looked at him Abraham finally got a clue in what was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham asked this question: will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He went to God and said, Lord, you are righteous. You're going to make the right decision. But God, on behalf of that righteousness and that you're always going to do what's right, will you do this? And we remember he said 50 and then he said 40 and then he went all the way down to 10. And he walked away saying, you know what? God's going to do the right thing. And that's what we got to come to and understand in our own lives. We need to do what we believe God wants us to do because we know God's judgments are going to be right. That means I'm going to have to take that step of faith and I'm going to have to do what he's asking me to do, even though I don't see how it's going to turn out, even though I can see how it could be harmful, even though I see how it could end up bad in the end and how it might cost me something, it might cost me my life, whatever those decisions are that we have to face, we got to come to this reality. God is always going to do what is right. His judgments are right. He is never tainted. He is never going to look the other way. He's never going to be like a judge that may be able to be bribed. No, none of those things will ever happen. We can trust him in his judgments. And that's what the psalmist is there. And he's He's out there. He's praising the Lord for his righteousness. Third thing. Told you it was going to move quickly. This one we'll spend a little bit extra time on. What he commands us to do is also righteous. What he commands us to do is also righteous. Look what it says in verse 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded us are righteous and very faithful. So what do you mean? Have you ever felt like God was just asking for too much? I mean, the reality is you sit there and you hear sermons, you hear this, you hear that. You're supposed to forgive. That's just a little too hard. Wives, you're supposed to submit. Well, that's just a little too tough. Husbands, you're supposed to love. Well, that's just, children, obey. And sometimes I think people get this idea that God has gone too far and that he maybe he's a little bit out of touch with the generation that we live in, and that we need to change the Bible some to fit. And you know what? That's wrong. He is right. Everything he asks us to do is right. He's not going to make a mistake. And that's what he's saying here. The psalmist is saying, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Even when we think something is small or significant, he's still right and faithful. If you go down and look at a couple of the other verses in verse 141, it says, I am small and despised. You go down to verse 43, trouble and anguish have taken hold upon me. That no matter what is happening in our life, whether we feel like we're insignificant, whether or not we feel like we're despised, whether or not we are facing trouble, whether or not we are in distress, whatever he asks us to do is still going to be right. When he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it's right. When he tells us to be faithful, it's right. When he tells us to give, it's right. When he tells us to do whatever he is that he commands us, he is right over here. We all would say God is righteous. He never makes the mistake that the judgments he makes, sometimes we may question them, but they're right. And now it comes to where the rubber meets the road. When he tells us what we're supposed to be doing, he's right then too. He has every right to do it because he's God. He has every right to do it because he's creator. He has every right to do it because of the fact that he deserves our praise, our worship. He deserves all that. But he has every right to do it because he's going to make the right decision. Sometimes a husband might have the right to make a decision for their family, but it's not always going to be correct. Sometimes they fail. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they may purchase something that they want instead of really seeking God and praying for it. Husbands make mistakes. God doesn't. And the powerful side of this is, am I going to obey God with my life? Because he is right. And I know that he's right. And I know I can trust him. And that's why it's talking about the testimonies, the stories that are there. 1 John 5:3 puts it this way. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous to us. Why is that? Because they're right. They're not going to be a mistake. And sometimes we look at it and say, that's just too hard, that's too tough, that's just too much. No, it's still right because they're from God. And I know sometimes we scratch our heads at certain things and we're wondering, how in the world am I going to make this happen? How in the world am I going to accomplish this? How in the world is this all? And it's because of the fact that we can trust him because he is right. Look at the next truth there. His righteousness is everlasting. You come in here and David is saying that even when I'm small, when I feel despised, even when those things are happening, I know that God is right. He even says, even though I face trouble and anguish, talking about being in problems and in distress, when they've taken hold on me, I still trust God with my following his commandments. And then he says this. He says in verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. You go to verse number 144, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. The amazing thing is that God's righteousness spans all generations. Sometimes in the past, we thought someone was right, we thought someone was fair, we thought something was equitable, and then sometimes people disappoint us. I mean, whether it's a political party that used to stand for something that was true and right, and they turn around and start doing things that are wrong, or whether it's an individual, or whether whomever or whatever it may seem, people can fail, people can be wrong, but God's righteousness was right back in the garden when he told Adam and Eve, hey, you need to get out of here. God's righteousness was right when he did everything he did all throughout the Bible, and it's still right today. And 1,000 years from now, or 10,000 years from now, or 1,000,000 years from now, he's still going to be right. Now, why don't we submit to that then? If we believe that he's right, let's honor his word. Let's love his word. Things, it amazes me that sometimes the things that used to be wrong in the past, many times they're said they're okay today. Does that surprise you at all? I guess nothing really surprises us anymore. But, you know, when people used to look down upon certain sins, homosexuality, now today it's celebrated. And, people used to say this was wrong and this is wrong, but today is, we have a new way of living. Now, what is right is right, what's wrong is wrong. What was right back 1,000 years ago was right then, and whatever was right in God's eyes back then is right today. God doesn't change at all. And what is sin is sin. It's always been sin. We like to reinterpret the Bible. We like to come up with other ideas and other things. We like to think we got smarter than the previous generations were. But the amazing thing is that sometimes, even nowadays, people say things that were right a long time ago are wrong today. People actually say that Bible preaching and teaching is wrong today. There's different people out there trying to say that it should be wrong to present the gospel to a child. If you go and you look it up, there's people out there that are against somebody presenting the gospel to a child. And they think that you shouldn't corrupt the mind of a young person. They can watch whatever trash they want to on TV. They can be taught sex ed at an early age in schools, but you shouldn't present the gospel. They say some things that should be right. Now they're saying it's wrong. See, God's judgments, they have been right all the way through. And we can trust in them. We can live according to them. And then you see that last phrase at the end of verse number 144. It says, give me understanding and I shall live. The psalmist is sold. The psalmist has gotten to the spot. And the psalmist has said, hey, you know what? You're right. God, you're right. You're righteous. Your judgments are upright. Even the things you tell us we need to do when we don't want to listen to people, they're right also. And they're going to last forever. So he gets to this spot and he gets to his understanding. I don't have to worry about figuring out what is right. God is already right. All I need to do is understand. God, give me understanding of what your word says. I don't need to figure out, hey, what I should do and what I shouldn't do. It's found right there in that book. And God, I just need you to give me understanding. And look at some of the ways he looks at it. He says in verse 140, he says, thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And I think that's one of the things that maybe goes right over our head sometimes in this series. He talks about such an affection and a love and just so much infatuation with the word of God, how he just devours it and how he needs it. And he's saying, look, if you give me understanding, I shall live. I'm going to make it because that's how much the Bible means to me. That's how much I love the word of God. And then not only does he say it's pure, he goes on, he says it's truth at the end of verse 142. And look at his reactions. Because of the fact it's pure, he says in verse 140, thy servant loveth it. Because he says it's in verse number 143, that because it's, even though I'm going through trouble and anguish, I know that you're right. I trust in you. I trust in what you commanded me. Your commandments, they're not grievous to me. They are my delights. And that's the response he has to it, because he's already decided. He's made a decision. I know God is right. I know I don't want to question his word. I know I don't have to wonder, should I do this or should I not do this? Because his are thoughts of peace towards me. They're to an expected end. He's not trying to harm me. He is right, and I'm wrong if I disagree with him. He is right, and my friends are wrong if they disagree with him. He is right, and TV is wrong if they disagree with God. And he says, I've already established this. I know God is right. I know his judgments are right. I know even when he commands me to do things I don't want to do, he is right. And that is something that is not going to change. It's going to be like that forever. So now what should I do with all that? God, help me to understand what you're teaching me. Help me see and understand, because I know you're right. instead of us opening up his word to try to find whether or not we're going to obey. Instead of looking and trying to find out, yea hath God said, like the serpent did. He's right. He delights in it. Then he goes and he even says, at the end of verse number 141, yet do I not forget thy precepts. He says, I'm not going to forget them either. It's pure, it's truth, it's right, so I love it. It's pure, it's truth, it's right, I delight in it. It's pure, it's truth, it's right, I'm not going to forget it. Give me understanding, Lord. You know, the only way we're ever going to get understanding is if we're willing to obey it. That's the only way we're going to ever understand what his word is trying to say and what he's trying to teach us. With obedience comes understanding many times. Not always. But sometimes people try to figure out what somebody else is doing. That's a hard life when you're working with somebody and they're always looking behind you, trying to figure out your motives. I wonder why they're doing this. And I wonder what they're saying there. And we all do that with some people in some ways. We don't have to do that with the Lord. He's right. He's always going to choose what is right for us. He's always going to say, make the right decision for us. And we don't have to figure out all the motives behind it. We just have to learn how to obey. Noah didn't go to God and say, hey, God, why is it that you want me to build this boat this way? Don't you think it would have been a little bit better if it was done with a different type of wood? Or this? Noah had no clue what was going to happen. Just like we don't know what's going to happen many times. And we know he's going to make the right decision. And that's what the psalmist is just, he's in. He's like, I know God's going to make the right decision. I know he's always going to do what's right. I'm in it. Now look what it says here. There's an interesting phrase we kind of didn't skip over. We read it, but it's found in 139. My zeal hath consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. So when I sat there and looked at that, and I read it and looked up and read what other people said about it, the one thing that he is zealous about it because he is disappointed or because other people are just not listening to his words. And I get that. You sit there and you look at it and it's like, they're making a stupid decision. Don't they remember what the Bible says? You see somebody going down the wrong path and you want to plead with them and maybe even you try to plead with them and you become zealous about it. I just want to give you some encouragement about that. We should be zealous for the things of God. We should be zealous about the things in his word. But sometimes, remember, zealousness is something that always should be done with righteousness. God in his righteous, holy anger did some things. But he is God when he makes his decisions. So we need to be careful that we do not step outside of what God's righteousness, what he has told us and what he has done versus the other ones. For instance, those disciples, they got really zealous about those Samaritans, not allowing Jesus to come and go to their village. Could you imagine not letting Jesus come to your village? Imagine somebody might have been sick there or needed. They said, let's pour the fire down. And he's like, you don't understand me. Someday you might. So be careful when you're zealous. Because when you see this, there is a zealousness that's there. And he says, my zeal has consumed me. But then the next thing he says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. That means that they love the word of God, all of it. It's making them zealous because of the fact that people aren't getting the word of God and they're not understanding the word of God and they're not listening to the word of God. And so what do you do then? Do you get to take out a hammer and beat them over the head with it? You don't. You live the word of God in front of them. You teach it. You preach it. You pray for them. You do those things that is going to give God an opportunity to work in that person's heart and that person's life. You do things the scriptural way and the biblical way. So tonight, the Lord is righteous. I don't know where you're at in your life or things that are going on and the questions that you have. And you're wondering, can I really trust him? Can I really depend on him here? It seems so overwhelming. It seems like it isn't going to work. He has been right before the world was ever created. Before time ever began, he was right. And his judgments have always been right. And even when he tells us to do something we don't like to do, he doesn't stop being right then. Sometimes we don't have a problem listening to people until they tell us to do something we don't want to do. Oh, I don't know about listening to that. When it comes to a human, I can understand that because a human can be wrong. We should remember authorities. We should remember all those different things, but a human can be wrong. There is a choice there. But with God, he can't be wrong. So when he gives us commandments, those are not grievous. Those are the things that are right for us to do. And they're not just right back when Psalmist was writing this. He says his righteousness, it lasts forever. It doesn't change. So how do we respond to that? Okay, God, you're right. Help me to understand. I don't have it all figured out. I'm probably not going to figure it all out till I get to heaven. But Lord, if you'll help me understand, then I'll do what is right. I will live, and I also will teach it to others. Because it's really hard to teach somebody something you don't understand in the first place. I've seen people try to do that. They try to teach somebody something they have no clue what's going on. You can sit back there and you just kind of smile and shake your head and think, what in the world are they talking about? I hear people give spiritual advice sometimes and they go talk to a person who probably hasn't prayed or read their Bible for a long time. God's not speaking to their heart and they start giving out spiritual advice and I'm thinking, what in the world? Where did all that come from? It's because they don't have any understanding because they don't have the right view of the Bible. Do we love it? Is it something that we're saying we're not going to forget? Is it something we're holding on to? And I'm not saying that you can only come to a pastor. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you find somebody who you want to be like spiritually, not who you want to be like carnally. And that's who sometimes we go to our friends and we like, okay, they think like I do. They're going to tell me what I want to hear. Lots of times when there's a problem, we've already told ourselves what we wanted to hear. That's why we're in that problem. We need to go to a place where someone's going to tell us the truth and do something that is right instead of just doing what we think is okay. There is safety in a multitude of counselors. Just make sure your counselors are ones that is getting wisdom from the Lord. So tonight, he's always been right. His judgment's always been right. Even when he commands us to do stuff, it's right. And it's going to be right forever. You don't have to worry. God's not going to change his mind. We might like for him to. And I know when I asked that question at the beginning, have you ever wished that God would kind of just look the other way once or twice? I know I have. I'll just be honest. There's been some times in my life when I'm involved in something and I'm thinking, God, if you could just let this one slide, just let it go. You know what? He's always going to do what's right. Sometimes it does involve mercy. Sometimes it does involve grace. Sometimes, I remember one time when there was something that I was going to have to confess. This was years upon years ago. And I didn't want to tell the person the confession. And I finally gave it over to the Lord. Lord, I'm willing to. And then he told me, hey, you don't have to. Because it was something that was private. Didn't have to really, but it was something that was done. I was like, you don't have to. You just need to be willing to. I was like, wow. He was being gracious to me. It saved a heartache. And I was thankful for that. He made the right choice. If he told me to do it, then that would have been the right choice too, because he knows what I need. He knows what that other person needs or that other group needs, because he's always been right. And he always will be also. Let's pray.